second chapter, we're going to find there's five woes in chapter 2. And God's going to give some woes. And He's looking at these things. You're going to find out what the problem is. In Acts chapter 2, you're going to see the significance of how the prophecy and the prophetic teachings of Habakkuk will come into being. And you're going to see what's happening. This is an overall picture, if you will, in Habakkuk of what's going to happen. Now, the Babylonian captivity is just pointing, actually just pointing to what's going to happen down the road. They're in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. They come back out and were restored and dispersed and so forth again. Now, what's going to happen is that they're under Gentile rule today. And they will continue to be, and even after the church is taken out and tribulation sets in, the Jews are going to come under a load like they were under the Babylonian captivity. And that's what this is getting to, that's what Habakkuk's trying to get us to see. That during that 7-year tribulation period, when the trouble is, and of course they're dispersed now, they're scattered out. Why are they scattered? Because of sin, because they have mishandled the Word of God. And misrespected the Word of God. They throwed it to the side. They've forsaken it. And they walked away from it and got themselves in a real turmoil. And now God is showing us here in Habakkuk basically what's going to happen. And we'll be talking a little bit more of that as we go. Now today, let's read in chapter 2, verse number 2. And we'll read a few verses there. I don't know how far we get down. We'll push this a little faster. He said in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 2, "And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine. He is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, Woe to him that increaseth that which is not his, how long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay." Now, if you notice, there's another how long, but this time God's asking that question. Now, let's go back to verse number 2. "And the Lord answered." It didn't take long for Habakkuk to get his answer. Remember in chapter 1, he's a man of burden. He's got a burden for the country. He's got a burden for the people. He's got a burden for his nation. That's how the book starts off. He's also got some questions for God. How long is God going to continue letting the wickedness go without bringing it under subjection? You remember that? So he's a man of question. And he asks God all these things. And he's also a man of prayer because he's crying out to God. That's what we got to have is prayer. And that's what we do with this nation. If we're going to be concerned to get America turned around, it's going to take us to be prayerful. Amen. We can't do it like we've been doing it, as the Scripture says, sitting on our leaves. And we cannot continue on for the glory of God until we get to the place that we are willing to have a burden and do have a burden for a nation, for a people, and for the land. And we ought to have a burden. Now, we have a burden to a certain degree, but not like it was with Habakkuk. He was very troubled. He spent some time, and this whole book is just between him and God in prayer and talking back and forth because of a burden and why the burden is there and so forth and why God has not answered. Now, we find in chapter 2, in the first part, that he's a watchman. We talked about that last week, remember. And he's dealing with that. Now, we'll see that he is concerned. And he's not only with a burden, but now he's watching. And he's not only wanting to watch what's going to happen to the people, but he's watching what's happening with God and how that God's going to intervene. Now, God speaks. It don't take him long, as I said, verse number 2. That's three things, and I mentioned this as we was leaving last week. First of all, he's been told in verses 2 and 3 that there would be a vision. You'll see that in verse number 3, he said there for the vision. There's going to be a vision. Number 2, you find that he's going to have to write the vision. Verse number 2, write the vision, he says. And then number 3, he says in verse number 3, to wait for it, to wait for that vision. So he's got a threefold job to do, and God's given him that. And so when the Lord answers, you know, it's sometimes tough when the Lord answers our prayers. Amen. He don't always answer them like we want them answered. Amen. You cry out to God, and the Lord answers your prayers, but sometimes sometimes He answers them exceptionally over and abundantly and above what you ask for. Is that right? And sometimes He goes in a different direction than you expected. But God knows what we need. Amen. And I'm glad He does. And so He knows which way to answer our prayers. Now, as we look at this, you find that this vision would be a definite thing. In other words, it's real, it's going to happen. And also in verse number 3, he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. That means it's yet future. See? And this is where we step into the prophetic part of Habakkuk. What this is yet future. Just like what fixed to happen to them in the days of Habakkuk, it's going to happen to the Jews again, and God's going to do that. But there's going to be a victory when it's all said and done. And we'll read some scriptures as we get down to it, and we're going to find out that in this chapter that there's going to come a time when everything's going to be different, and it's going to set up for the millennium, and how that the Jews are going to be blessed in that time. Now, he said, for the vision is for an appointed time. I mentioned that. And then he said that it's going to be certain, because in verse number 3, the last four words says, it will not tarry. And the previous words before that is, because it will surely what? Come. So he's talking about it. It's going to be a definite thing. Now, let's go back to verse 2 and start coming down through there and see if we can find something here to help us. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision. In other words, I want to put it in writing. Well, did he write it? Here it is. He wrote it. At least Habakkuk was faithful to God. He wrote it. He said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. Now remember, the tables is not tables you eat from, but the tables they put it on when he's writing it. And remember, the Ten Commandments is put on tables of stone. Didn't have the luxuries of the printing press and put it on the stone. So here it is. Or put it on whatever they're called, tables, or whatever they made. Of course, they had some sheepskins and so forth, and they did some of that in the parchment paper as it come on down through the years. But here in Habakkuk's day, he said, make it plain. And God wants the Word of God plain. I believe that's what we ought to be talking to people today. Plain. Plain English. Not trying to, in great swelling words, give something to somebody, but give them what they need. He said that he may run that readeth it. In other words, it'll carry him on and go with it. So we'll find in verse number 2 that he's to write the vision. And that's how God spoke. Remember in the visions? God spoke in visions and dreams and prophets and kings back in the Old Testament times, right? Now, how does he speak today? In these last times, he speaks by what? The Word of God through his Son. Amen. So we have that. We're not looking for visions and those sort of things. And I keep hammering on that because I keep hearing so many Christians and a lot of Baptists talking about the visions that they're seeing. Amen. I'm all these years in the ministry, and I've seen a lot of visions, but I didn't say they come from God. Amen. I had a lot of things come through. And I don't believe we ought to be looking for visions. Somebody says, if I see it, I believe it. Not necessarily. Amen. I know some have seen things and still didn't believe. Amen. So, anyhow, they won't do it. It's not that way. How do we believe? Through the preaching of the Word of God. Verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Now, I like that word, appointed time. You know what the Bible said, appointed time? And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. A lot of appointed times. At the fullness of time. Amen. God sent forth His Son, Galatians 4:4, born of a woman. At the appointed time. Everything's in God's appointed time. The Word of God is at God's appointed time. Amen. Nothing just happens. Nothing's by perchance. Nothing is just a coincidence. Somebody said, it's just a coincidence. No. I believe God orders our steps Isn't it amazing how that God can order our steps and we can be at, we can leave our home and go somewhere and somebody else leave their home and be there and they got further to drive or less to drive and whenever God puts their heart to leave, we actually get in the, God knows how to put our paths to cross at a certain place. Hey, you said, isn't it amazing that we went to Walmart and seen so-and-so? No, it's just God. Nothing just happens. God puts it that way. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. And so the Bible said the steps of good men are ordered by the Lord. I don't know about you folks that's lazy and won't go when God tells you now. Amen. That's right. And sometimes you might drag your feet and then still meet somebody. You know what? That's what happens. God giving you the time. So the appointed time. Well, the vision is yet for an appointed time. This is going to be down there, yet future. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. I mean, it looks like it's tarrying now is what he's saying, but it won't. Because he said, though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. In other words, it's a positive thing. It is coming. It's a definite thing. It will be here. Now, so that's future. And we'll deal with this a little bit later when we come back to it and get into it and see how that this is going to be in a prophetic scene, you see. Now, verse 4. Behold his soul, which is lifted up. Now, I want to point out some things here. Look at verse number 4. Behold his soul, which is lifted up. And then go down to verse 5, and let's borrow a phrase. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man. You see that? Now, pride, and then lifted up. That's what happens. God hates pride. And here's what's happened. He said, these people are lifted in pride. They're proud. And that's ruined America, too. This nation's full of pride. We're proud. We're a proud people. Even God's people, Christians, have come to the place that they're proud. Too proud. Amen. Too much pride. We have too much pride. Amen. Didn't figure to get too many amens off that. We've got too much pride. All of us have too much pride. Amen. Back yonder we didn't have nothing. Of course, everybody else around us didn't have nothing either, so we didn't think there's nothing about it. But anyhow, we didn't have anything. We was grateful to get something. Now we have about everything we want, and we're proud of it, and we're full of pride, and we're not thankful enough for what we do have. Every one of us in here is more blessed than you deserve. We're all blessed more than we should be. Amen. And I am not complaining because God's blessed, but I am complaining because we don't give Him the praise for it. Now, He said, behold, His soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. Of course, pride will not let you be upright. What's upright? Being right. God made man upright. That's according to the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, man was made upright. But he has invented many, brought out many inventions of evil. And he has brought things to bring him down. And he's lifted up in pride. And he's got the place that he thinks he can live without God. He can live without the touch of the Word. You'd be surprised that people's got the Word of God thrown to the side this morning. That don't enter into their life at all. The Word of God is not what they're thinking. And you see people every day of your life that don't care much about the Word of God. Amen. You tell them this is what, you tell them what you say and they just say, well, that's not what I think. It don't matter what you think, nohow, or anybody else. What does the Bible say? Amen. We want to operate our lives the way we want them operated. But that's not the way to do that as a Christian, as a child of God. We've come to that place. Remember, these are the Israelites. These are the people of God. They have turned their back on God. And when you get to the place to think this morning the church don't do that and won't do it and can't do it, you've made a terrible mistake. Because the problem is today it's not that we don't have the churches. It's not that we don't have the preachers. It's that we don't have the lives. And I'm talking about in preachers and deacons, amen, and church members. And we're full of pride. And we can't operate a church full of pride. We've got to get rid of that pride. And he said, behold his soul. And of course, they're all around him. And he's talking about it and how the Chaldeans are going to destroy them and are destroying them. And he's going on to say this, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but he's bringing out a little crowd. It's in there. There are some. It's a remnant. But the just shall live by his faith. Now, the just, that's what happens. You live by faith. You don't live by what you see, what you've got. It's not determined by your possessions and what you own, how much money you got, what kind of prestigious positions you have in life. It is what you have in the Lord by faith. The just shall live by his faith. And brother, he's even telling it, and if anybody thinks that the Old Testament saints didn't live by faith, here's a verse that knocks that in the head. Amen. How did the Old Testament saints live? By faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Noah. Amen. By faith, Enoch. By faith, many of them, down through there. 11th chapter of Hebrews, God brings that out. It's by faith. Now, you said faith, Jesus hadn't died. That's right. But they was looking for a Messiah. They were looking for somebody. They were looking for a sacrifice. They were looking for somebody to redeem them. They didn't understand the whole details of it, but they were looking forward to one day something taking place. Amen. They had the promise of the sacrifice in Genesis 3:15, and they went with that. And Isaiah confirmed it. And then one day he died on the cross of Calvary, went to the grave, and rose. Now they find that they have their supreme sacrifice. And today they look at that and said, hey, we've got the sacrifice. And of course, they didn't accept him. But now they don't have to look forward. The Old Testament don't look forward to it. They look back to it. That's why it's new. We're looking back by faith. So with faith on both sides of the cross. Now, look at verse 5. Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine. You're going to find as we get in this chapter that they had a drinking problem. Amen, society. This is not something that's just come up. Alcoholic beverage is something that's taken many, many nations down. The worse it gets, the more vile the country becomes. The more rampant you have alcohol, the more wicked you have the people. I've seen that in my day. Hadn't you seen it? And brother, now it's just alcohol everywhere. It's just a common thing now. And it's come in so much now that even the church don't seem to be, you know, we're comfortable around it. We're comfortable around it. Amen. We don't have it in the church. We don't drink it, you know. But I'm saying, everywhere you go, you see it. You just not see it. When I was a boy, I didn't see alcoholic beverage, did you? Unless somebody was drinking around me or in the family of members, you didn't see it. And those people that bought it, they had to go out of county to get it. And they kept it hidden in bags. Amen. Sneak around to drink it. Did they not? Why, they don't pay attention to about now. Amen. You can go in a restaurant and have it with your meal if you go to them places. Amen. Ought not to, but some of you do. Amen. And I'm praying about that. Amen. Not praying about me not going. I don't go to them, but I'm praying about you going to them. All right. It hadn't worked yet, but I'll still bear that up before the Lord. You said, how'd you know I'd done it? I don't. But there's some that do. Amen. I couldn't put my hands on you. Amen. Not a whole lot of you anyhow. But anyhow, I'm telling you. I just try to stay away from them places. And, of course, you can't hardly go nowhere without finding something somewhere. Buying gas and everything else. But that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's prominent, is it not? There used to be a time you could pick and choose. It's hard to pick and choose. Now, amen, now if you buy gas where they don't sell it, you better make sure you got at least a half a tank to get there. That's right. Ain't that right? It's far away before you can go get them. All right. So you might run out of gas if you don't go soon. It's going to cost you more to keep it going. But it said, verse 5, yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell. And of course, he's talking about hell has a desire. That's what he's talking about. I'm going to point that out in a minute. And is as death and cannot be satisfied. Now, let me give you some scriptures. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. You got Psalms and then the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 27. When you get over there, I know you've read this many times. Proverbs is a book that you can read over and over and over for years and still miss these verses. It's one of them books that you just do not comprehend all of it because there's so much of it. Chapter 27 and verse number 20. The Bible said, hail and destruction are never what? Full. And then it says, so the eyes of man are never what? Satisfied. Think about that. Hell has got plenty of room. It's always looking for another. And it's full of destruction. And see, hell and destruction itself are never full. There's always room. But then it said, and so the eyes of man are never satisfied. You give him a pocket full of money, and he wants more. I think you ask the Rockefellers, I believe it was, how much is enough? He said, just a little bit more. That's what he said. And that's what happens. You become a billionaire, you want to be a multi-billionaire. See? You become a millionaire, you want to be a billionaire. You want 100, you got 100, you want 1,000. You get 1,000, you want 10,000. You see? You're never satisfied. You get a new car, you want another new car. Might not want it for the day or two, but you want another. New house, you want a new house again somewhere down the road. Never have figured it out. Now, we get in these houses, and back yonder they had the houses. When I was raised up, you could see the wind. You could see outside in some of the places. I mean, there's cracks in the house. And we'd have the wind blowing up under the house, and the linoleum rug would blow up off the floor. Any of you ever seen that? Sure you have. And you could sit in there by the fire trying to stay warm, and the curtain's blowing out away from the window. Now we've got all the fancy stuff, and yes, guess what? We live in all that, and we brag about it and show it off, and the next thing you know, we're wanting another one. Amen. Even don't even wire furniture out and buy new. Amen. Back 100 years ago, you know what? We didn't put our couch and everything up and furniture up for sale and sell it and buy new, or buy new and sell it. We took it to the dump when we got a new one. Why? Nobody wanted what we had. We didn't even want it. Amen. Ain't that what happens? You don't do it now. You buy a new refrigerator and you sell your other one. And back 100 years ago, nobody would have had it because it wouldn't work. And no reason you got rid of it is because you had to have another one. And we're living in a different day. And you know what I'm saying, right? And so we're never satisfied. The eyes of men, see what he's saying? He said, the eyes of man are never satisfied. Mm-mm. And that's what happens in all facets of life. That's exactly the way it is. So he's talking about that. Now go to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And we'll look at two verses, verses 15 and 16. He said in verses 15 and 16, the horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. There's four things that will cry out and say it's never satisfied and not enough. Number one's the grave. The grave is never satisfied. Always waiting for one more. Time waiting on another one. Amen. The grave is never satisfied. Two, the barren womb. Amen. Is never satisfied. You read it all through the Scriptures. Women who cannot have children begged and cried, and the barren womb is never satisfied. Number three, the earth that is not filled with water. In other words, drought, a dry land. It's never satisfied. Gets water once more. And the fire that saith not. It is enough. Fire. That's why hell has this desire. Fire is never satisfied. It wants to keep burning. That's why it goes on. He wants to keep kindled and keep going. Those things are never satisfied. So we're going back to verse 5 in Habakkuk chapter 2. Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man. And I believe that's what's happened to us in America. Alcohol has changed man, and he's sold himself into wine, and he's proud. America's proud. Neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell. In other words, he reaches out for more. Not satisfied at home, not satisfied with what he has, but reaches out, and not satisfied to stay with what he has, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations. You see that? Gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Now, there's where you get into the prophecy. That's what's happened. The world is not satisfied. It's not satisfied this morning. The world's not. Reaching out to get more and more and more. And you can't bring peace and satisfaction to this world. The Bible said when you cry peace, peace, sudden destruction cometh upon you. And they're crying peace and they're wanting peace. And there won't be no peace till the Prince of Peace comes. And there's no satisfaction in the world. They won't reach out. Politicians, they never have enough power. They keep craving after power. The financial people, they never have enough money. They never have enough prestige. You just keep reaching out for more and more. You and I try to keep out reaching for more and more. That can be a good thing if it's reaching out for the right things. Amen. How many of us are reaching out and striving to have more knowledge of God? Nothing wrong with that. We ought to strive to have more of the knowledge of God. But unfortunately, it's reaching out for things that we shouldn't have, stuff that we don't need, stuff that will hurt us. And so you're looking at it here, and you're seeing that. And so these people, one country gains a little land, gains a little prestige, gains a little momentum. What do? They want more. Power. We're power crazed. This world, nations are power crazed. They want to have more power. Nations striving against nation today simply because they want to be a greater nation than another one. One country wants to be better than another country. And yet America, look at us in a country here. One people wants to be greater than another people. And we've got that little crazy. It even happens when we come down into the church. We crave after power. People crave after power. They want that power and the influence. You get people that get that power, and they want more power. They take advantage of people. And we've got a lot of people in our church that take advantage of other people because they've got that craving of power and full of pride in their church. God help us. I wouldn't want that. Don't want it. Do you? We need to get rid of that pride. Amen. We're nothing. God's everything to us. And so we don't need to be like hell and death and the grave and so forth. That's not satisfied and cannot be satisfied. But he said that together unto all him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Now this is a prophecy because one day all nations will rise up against Israel. They will. One day, all nations. Even the United States of America, if it will continue on as we know America and it don't fall, it will one day rise up against Israel. And I believe the country will be here, but I don't hardly know what's going to happen with how it's going. Do you? Somebody said, is America going to be in the middle of that? I don't know. She's going to, this country will. I don't know the freedoms that we know today. I wouldn't have said this 20, 25 years ago. Amen. I thought America would be top-notch all the way. How many of y'all thought that? You did, didn't you? I would have never believed we'd see in America what we're seeing today. Never would have believed that I would never believe that over half the nation would be on without jobs, not working, being supported by the people at work. I would have never believed that. Would you? I would never believe that. I've always thought and raised that we come in, we work, we have the opportunity, we make a living, we get out of it. But that's not what is taught today in America. Amen. It's give me and handouts now. And so we're living there. I never would have believed that 25 years ago. And I'm not against helping people. These people need help. And I'm not against helping people that need help. But I'll tell you what, when we can find people that won't work and don't care to work, and we give them that incentive, so you see what's happened? They crave it after this, and they stay with it. Hey, I was listening to something the other day, and a fellow said, if he went to work, he wouldn't make as much as what he is making with unemployment. He'd stay at home, and that's why they're doing that. As long as they keep paying them, they'll keep doing that too. Amen. And our country is good. And you think, well, why don't they get it turned around? Because they've got dollar signs in their mind. They're pulling for power, prestige, and they're looking for that. They're not satisfied. Amen. So, we passed the Bible. Man don't work, you don't eat. Amen. I believe we ought to help those that can't help themselves. But those that are able. Amen. Those that are disabled and can't help themselves, I'm all for it. I believe even the disabled could be doing something. Amen. Good thing I ain't running the country. Amen. We'd cut some of the welfare lines off tomorrow. Amen. You talk about a right, we'd have one. Yes, sir. And I wouldn't be racial with it either. Just straight across the board. That's it. That's right. But I'm telling you, we're seeing the power crazed people, and that's what's happened. Now in verse 6 he said, shall not all these take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him and say, now notice this. Here's the first woe of chapter 2. Woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. Whatever you got by deception, whatever they've taken by conspiracy, whatever they've taken that did not belong to them, however they got it, whether they just stole it straight out or in deception done it. He said, what's happened? Woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. Amen. In other words, taking what somebody else has got and making money by it or doing whatever. He said, how long? Now God's asking the question, how long is this going to happen? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay. And so he's put all this on him. Here he's got himself in a mess. Shall not all these take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his? How long? I'm going to read some more here because this goes together and we'll come back across it. And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay, with times none caught me anyhow, shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them. And we're going to go on down because the second woe is going to come in verse 9. You're going to see five different woes that God's going to give. Now, when God puts out a woe, and we're going to talk about some of these woes and what that is, and this book's going to get interesting when we begin to look at these woes that God's put in. When God says woe, brother, it's something. The Bible and the book of Revelation got several. Got those special three woes. Brother, when God says, woe unto you for that, brother, it's trouble. You've got trouble. You've got God's attention. You've got God on you. Amen. He's like sticky, brother. He stays with you. In other words, that woe is. He's there. And when God gets on you, you're in trouble. We'll stop there and come back to that first woe next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of prayer, for being able to open the Word of God and see how these folks were working back in years gone by and how that things were happening against them. And Lord, how that they brought it upon themselves. And Lord, how that we're doing the very same thing in the midst of our land today. Help us, Lord, to apply it and not look back down our nose to those folks. But Lord, help us to see our need today. And Lord, help us to get out of the mess that we're in by doing that which is right, not that which is evil. We give you the praise and the glory. We commit the rest of the service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.